From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. I trust that you'll stay with us for today's study, as in a few minutes we consider the subject of Christ, the end of the law for righteousness. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again.
Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In many ways, this is an alarming passage of Scripture. If you understand it, you will never again rest comfortably on the mere fact that you are sincere in your religion. Here in Romans 10, Paul speaks of people who were sincere in their religious beliefs and exceedingly zealous toward God in implementing those beliefs. They were even diligent in their works to attain unto God's salvation. They were really trying to get to heaven. But, Paul says, they were utterly ignorant of the Lord's way of making sinners righteous and acceptable before Him. And so, depending upon their own obedience to the law of God, they rejected the gospel message of righteousness by faith in Jesus without any additional works of man. And it is very obvious that their sincerity and their zeal did not save them from the guilt of their Christ rejection, and so they remained in their sin, unsaved, away from God, and with the doom of a lost eternity hanging over their heads. Now their folly and their tragedy lay in the fact that they strove to achieve salvation by personal obedience to God's law, all the while ignoring the truth that Paul spells out for us in the fourth verse of this passage, in which he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Jews are far from being alone in that folly. I think there are millions, that's not an overstatement, there are millions sitting in churches all across America tonight who are committing the same sin. They are doing the very same thing, striving to establish their own righteousness before God. They are culpably ignorant of God's righteousness provided for sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus the words of verse 4 are very vital for us to grasp. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one who believeth. Tonight I want to take some time to deal with this great theme of Christ, the end of the law. Now there is considerable difficulty in even understanding this text. This is one of those little verses of the Bible that you pass over and you imagine you understand it because there's none of the words in themselves that present any difficulty, apparently. But when you put it all together, and I'll ask you to do it just now as you sit there, just think for a moment, what exactly does this mean? And you'll realize there is considerable difficulty in coming to an understanding of this text. For example, take the word law. What is this law? There are those who would simply dismiss the text and say this is the ceremonial law, and the Lord Jesus brought it to an end by His own life and death. For reasons that I'm not going to go into at any length tonight, for the sake of time, that is an interpretation that I don't think will stand up to the context. Paul is speaking of something much more than the ceremonial law. Then there are others, and they will say with some degree, very considerable degree, of logic and
Bible truth behind them. That this is the moral law of God considered as the covenant of works. And they are saying that is the meaning of the word law. There are others who want to take it in a much broader sense, and they'll say it is the moral law both as covenant and as commandment. So that's one thing we have got to settle. What is the law here? Then there's another word here that we have got to try and settle, and that is the word end. The word end. Now in English that sounds a very simple word, but even in English, even if you pronounce it as Dr. Barrados, that is not the simplest word to understand. The Greek word telos may mean simply a termination. And that's how some people take this. If you believe this is the ceremonial law, then Christ is the termination of that law. If you are what I described last week as an antinomian, that is one who denies the law of God having any place in the life of the Christian, then you say Christ is the termination of the moral law. If you say the law is merely a covenant of works here, then you say he is the termination of the law as a way of righteousness to believers. The trouble with that is that the law never was a way of righteousness to believers. And you can't end what was never begun. So the word termination has real difficulties with it. Others take the word end to mean the aim of the law. The end of something is that to which it naturally inclines, or that for which God appointed it. What is the chief end of man? The Catechism asks. Man's chief end is to glorify God. That is his appointed end, the aim, the purpose for which God created him. And in Romans 7 verse 10, we read the commandment was ordained to life. That is the end, the aim of the law. Yet again, the word is taken by many commentators to mean fulfillment. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And Paul seems to use the word with that meaning in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, in what is in many ways a parallel passage, at least as expounding the law. Now the end of the commandment is charity. The idea there is the aim and fulfillment of the command is charity. The Lord Jesus used the word in this very same way in Luke 22 and verse 37. He said, I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished. The word accomplished is the word ended. Must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And it's the same word. And obviously, he's saying, the things that were written have got to be fulfilled in me. For the things concerning me now have their fulfillment. So we do have to consider then, what does the word end mean? And then if that weren't difficult enough, we have yet another thing to concern us here, and that is a matter of translation. Now, in Greek as in English, the words are all very straightforward and very simple. But the order of the words in the Greek text is very different from that in the English text. The Greek text says, for the end of the law is Christ for righteousness to every believing one. We have Christ as the end of the law. That's perfectly good translation. Sometimes in classical languages you'll bring a word to the very first of the sentence if you want to lay emphasis on it. Christ is the end of the law. But taking the words at their face value, the end of the law is Christ for righteousness. Now here's the question. This word end, Is that the subject of the sentence? Now I come back to your English class. Some of you are still at school, and you have English teachers who try to batter this into your brains. The verb to be, which is understood in the text here, is a verb that takes what's called a complement. A subject and a complement. Now you all remember this. Is the word am the subject with Christ the complement? Or is the word Christ the subject with the word am the complement? Makes sense both ways. But I'm going to stick tonight. To be very honest, I cannot see any real reason for departing from the order of the words as Paul gave them. And as I studied this, it came home to me very simply. Paul is saying the end of the law is. And if you could take this next phrase as meaning just one word, Christ for righteousness to believers. The end of the law is Christ for our righteousness. Now that immediately shows us that the end that Paul has in view is not the termination of anything. Now there are other scriptures that tell us Christ terminated the old ceremonial law. But this is not the termination of anything that Paul has in mind. This is the aim and the fulfillment of the law. And what is the aim and the fulfillment of the law? Christ for our righteousness. That's what Paul is saying. Now, if we take it in that sense, immediately we can see not only does it make very simple sense, but it is the very heart message that Paul is expounding in Romans throughout this epistle. That's the message that he expounds in every epistle. This is the message that consumed the great heart of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, to whomsoever he preached, under whatsoever circumstances, this was the message that Paul preached. Christ, our righteousness. And when he was faced with the claims of the Jews and their view of the law, his answer was always one and the same. The law had as its aim and fulfillment Christ for our righteousness. Now let me put that in a very straightforward way. What Paul is teaching us then is that the aim of God's law is eternal life. Remember, the end of the commandment was to life. It was ordained to life. So the aim of the law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man. Let me emphasize that. The aim of God's law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man, which is achieved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law and established a perfect legal righteousness which God imputes to all his believing people. That's the message. Here's Paul's great statement. That's why I said at the beginning, this is a little verse that we pass over so glibly. And yet in it, there is contained the very heart of everything that the great apostle ever preached. Here is his great statement. Here is the truth that the Jews rejected and stumbled over to their own destruction. Here is the truth that men still reject and stumble over to their destruction. Here is the truth that you must grasp by faith if ever you are to be saved. The law of God, as we, I think, proved very comprehensively last week and in the weeks that have preceded, the law of God has not been abrogated. God has not undone one iota of his moral commandments. The law of God demands a perfect righteousness. It will bar the road to heaven for any man except he has a perfect righteousness. Let's understand that. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this wishy-washy Unitarian gospel, which is not a gospel, that God will simply pat you on the back and say, well, I forgive you. I couldn't let you be lost. I must bring you into heaven. The Bible knows nothing of that. The law of God is inflexible in and inexorable in its demand, and it demands salvation only on the ground of a perfect righteousness. But the whole aim and object of God in giving the law is to preach eternal life. Because of a perfect righteousness achieved by Christ and imputed freely to all who believe in Him. Can I point out, as we consider this, first and foremost, that the law has one fundamental aim, and that is to stir man up to seek Christ. That's the fundamental aim that God has in giving us His law. To use the law as a way of salvation is to abuse the law. To use the law as an excuse to reject Christ is to pervert God's holy law. To feel no need for the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is to ignore God's law. Those who have no felt need of Christ have never, never faced the full rigor of the law of God. Let me make that clear to you. People who can drift through life, careless about their condition, careless about their relationship to God, careless about the person and work of Christ, are people who have never come face to face with the rigor of God's law. Let a man face the law of God. Let a man face the God who gave the law. Let any man come face to face with what God says and what God demands. And I tell you, that man's conscience will be set on fire and he will be forced to Christ. He will be stirred in his soul to get to Jesus. The man who feels no need of Christ has never viewed the holiness of God. He has never caught a glimpse of the absolute righteousness of God, his judge. He has never grasped the reality of the terrible wrath of a sin-hating God. One of the great doctrines of the Christian faith that has been mocked relentlessly by hell and by all the minions of the devil, and has been practically eradicated from the preaching of the Christian pulpit, is the doctrine of the wrath of God. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For, says Paul, our God is a consuming fire. And in both Testaments, Jehovah says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I want you to stop tonight if you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ. I want you to stop and even consider the past week. Consider every evil thought and every evil deed, every wickedness of motive and of action. And I want you to hear in your conscience tonight the thundering voice of the Lord God of heaven. I will repay. I will repay. Man may overlook your sins. people may be incapable of doing anything to visit judgment upon your sin. But I will repay. I tell you, once that grips a man's heart, it will drive him to seek Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.